This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Am I talking fast? Because y'all are. Amen. I believe God has given us his word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, and when you get there, say amen. Zechariah chapter 4. Blessed in the city. And they say, I'm living in the overflow. How many of you know it's good to live in the overflow? We serve a God who is more than enough. Zechariah chapter 4. No longer bound, no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's such a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. Is that Pastor crazy? No, I'm just free. That's crazy, Pastor. No, I'm just free. Amen. Yeah. If I'm no longer bound, I shouldn't be walking around acting like I'm bound. Amen. If I'm walking around like I'm bound, I might bound somebody else just by them looking at me. Amen. Zechariah, are you there? The Bible tells us in verse number 1, it says, and the angel that talked with me, this is Zechariah talking here, Zechariah the prophet, he said, and the angel that talked with me came again and walked and waked me as a man that is waking out of his sleep and said unto me, what do you see? And I said, I have looked and behold a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it and his seven lamps thereon and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side of it. So I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said to me, you don't know what these things are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen? Of hosts. Amen. In chapter 4 of the book of Zechariah, we see that there are a lot of things going on here. Amen. And in many cases, maybe some of us, many of us, or perhaps all of us might not really understand what's going on here, you know. But because you and I, because we have decided to come to Word of Knowledge Ministries this morning, where people are not destroyed for lack of knowledge, I am going to unpack the scriptures for us this morning so we can understand what's going on here. Because the Bible tells us that in all thy getting, get understanding. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So in unpacking these scriptures we just read, I want to first remind us of some history that had taken place prior to this vision that Zechariah the prophet had, okay, with this angel. Okay, I want to share some history with us, because without sharing the history of what happened prior to this time, we still would not understand what's going on here. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. And I want to go ahead and give you the title of this message up front, because I know a lot of you all do take notes, and I know a lot of you all want to know what the title is. And sometimes, you know, when I'm teaching, I don't really focus on the title. I don't even think about the title sometimes to the end, but, you know, that's me. But I'm going to give it to you up front. The title of the message is, But By My Spirit, Saith the Lord. But by my spirit. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So there's some history that took place prior to this vision that Zechariah the prophet had concerning Israel. Amen? I've mentioned many times in the past that because of Judah's rebellion toward God, God sent many prophets to tell them that if you do not get your act together, I'm going to deal with you. And how many of you know when God speaks, we should listen? But, of course, those people, the children of Israel in those days, they said they would listen to the Lord and obey him. But how many of you know that talk is cheap? So they did not listen. And because they didn't listen, God did to them exactly what he told them that he would do by them not listening. They went into exile to the Babylonians, okay? They've been into exile to the Babylonians. This was in 597 B.C. And they stayed in exile to the Babylonians for 70 years. Y'all still with me? Which is exactly what God said what was going to happen. I'm just, you know, stay with me. Just stay with me now. I'm giving you a little history. Y'all all right? Y'all still good? Amen. So they went to exile to the Babylonians in 597 B.C. In 587 B.C., the Babylonians destroyed the temple of God, the temple that King Solomon built. They destroyed the temple, the Babylonian, because they were ruthless people. Are y'all still with me? Amen. In 539 B.C., around 538, 539, in order to free the children of Israel after the 70 years, God used a king by the name of Cyrus, okay? Some of you know him as Cyrus the Great. And Cyrus the Great defeated the Babylonians. And after he defeated the Babylonians in 538 B.C., he allowed the children of Israel to go back home if they wanted to. He allowed them to go back to Jerusalem. Have I lost anybody? Amen. He allowed them to go back. You know, he did a decree. He wrote a decree that said, hey, all people in captivity in Babylon are authorized to go back to Jerusalem. Amen? And one of the first people that went back was a governor by the name of Zerubbabel. Okay? Zerubbabel. Okay? He was the governor appointed by the Persian king as the governor of Judah. And when Zerubbabel went back to Jerusalem, he took a lot of people with him. Some of the first people that he took back was Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Y'all still with me? Anybody know anything about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel? Amen. So he took them back with him, and his primary mission to go back was to oversee or to supervise the reconstruction of the temple of God, which you might have heard of the first temple and the second temple, where the second temple is the temple they went back to reconstruct. Because remember, I told you a few minutes ago that the first temple was destroyed in 587 B.C. by the Babylonians. Are you all still with me? Amen. Before I go further, is anyone hot? Your heart, amen. Can you turn down the thing just a little bit? Amen. Amen. So his primary mission was to oversee the reconstruction or the rebuilding of the temple. Okay? Amen. And the foundation of the new temple, it was rebuilt in 535 B.C., okay? Shortly after Cyrus defeated the Babylonians and allowed the children of Israel to go home, he died shortly after that, okay? But the decree still stood in place. So he went back, built the foundation, okay, of the temple in 535 B.C. How many of you know that a building will not stand without a foundation? Are y'all still with me? So the foundation is the most important part of the building. The foundation is the most important part of your house. In other words, if you go and dig up the ground and try to remove your foundation, your whole house is going to fall. Y'all still with me? Amen. So they built the foundation, but the mission was to build the temple, you know, to reconstruct the temple of God. Amen? Amen. So after the foundation of the temple was built, okay, there was the building was suspended for many, many years, okay? There was people who had stopped building. Y'all still with me? Okay. They had stopped building for many years. There was a delay in the building. Well, why was there a delay? Well, let me tell you why there was a delay. There were a group of people called the Samaritans. And these were not the same Samaritans, like, you know, the Samaritan lady when Jesus met at the well. They were not those Samaritans. Y'all still with me? There were people who were called Samaritans. And they wanted to help Zerubbabel and the workers of Israel. They wanted to help them rebuild the temple of God. But Zerubbabel and the boys would not allow them to do it. Why? Because they were not qualified. They were not qualified. Well, how many of you know sometimes when people want to do things and you tell them that, nah, I don't need your help, they get mad and upset. And they try to rebel against you. And that's exactly what happened. They caused problems for the builders, okay, in Zerubbabel. They caused problems. They messed up the plan, okay? They hired some counselors who they paid to go disrupt the building of the temple. They caused the people to be afraid to work on the work on the temple, okay? They were operating in fear. And how many of you know the Bible tells us in Timothy that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So they hindered the process of building the temple by discouraging the builders in doing the mission that they were sent back to do, rebuild the temple of God. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Amen. Now, that's the history. But I want to go back to the book of Zechariah. Does anyone need me to go over the history again? Because all of this had happened prior to Zechariah's vision. Now, I want you to go back to Zechariah chapter 4. Amen. Go back to you know, because Zechariah was a prophet of the post-exilic period. In other words, after Israel were released from exile to the Babylonians. So the Bible says, once again here, the Bible says, and the angel that talked with me came upon and awakened me. Amen. As a man waking out of his sleep, and said unto me, what do you see? And he said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my lord. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Y'all still with me? In other words, God saw the trouble that they were having in building the temple. God saw the opposition that they were facing. God saw the fact that some of the people was operating in fear because they had the mission to do one thing, but the people who causes opposition, or the opposition, or the people who cause distractions in them doing the work of the Lord, you caused them to stop building the building for a long time. So when God saw that, God realized that what they needed in order to complete the building of the temple, they needed some divine intervention. How many of you know there are some things in your life where you need divine intervention? Amen? We mentioned earlier, the Bible says that in some things, with man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. So God saw the fact that Zerubbabel and the boys needed some divine intervention, and he also saw the fact that in order for Zerubbabel to continue to oversee the building of the temple, he needed some encouragement from on high. How many know sometimes you need some encouragement from on high? I mean, people can encourage you. Yeah, everything going to be all right. It's going to be okay. But when you hear the word from the Lord telling you that everything is going to be all right, you know without a shadow of a doubt that everything is going to be all right. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. So now, one thing about Zechariah, many, if you read the book of Zechariah, many of his prophecies were in the form of visions or dreams, if you will. Amen. And this one was no different, you know. And his message was to go tell Zerubbabel that in your own power, you can't do it. In your own human might, you can't do it. You need divine intervention, and that divine intervention is coming from God by way of the Holy Spirit. Y'all still with me? In other words, once again, he says, not by power, not by your might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. So once again, the purpose of all these things here, you know, this vision, is to encourage Zerubbabel, to let him know that God is on your side, and as long as you follow the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to accomplish this mission. You will be able to rebuild the temple of God. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. Now, in doing so, in sharing this message, in his vision, you see that there are some things that the angel talked about. In chapter 4, first of all, he talked about the candlestick of gold. Do y'all see that? And then he says something about the seven lamps they're on and the seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And then he talked about two olive trees, one on the right side of the bowl and one on the left side of the bowl. Well, why was he talking about those things? Well, Christians, let me to tell you that those are things that are found in the temple. In other words, what he was telling Zerubbabel is that the temple that they went back to reconstruct will be built, because it's God's will for the temple to be built. And these things are things that are found in the temple, and these are things that will be seen in the temple when the temple is rebuilt. But once again, the temple will be rebuilt, but not by man's power. It will be rebuilt, but not by man's might. It will be rebuilt by the Spirit of God and by those who are building the temple to not do things their way, but do things God's way. Are y'all still with me? Now I'm going to talk about the olive tree a little later on. Is that all right with y'all if I talk about the olive tree a little later on? Amen, amen, amen. So Zechariah told Zerubbabel exactly what God said. Once again, number one, to encourage Zerubbabel that he could complete the temple. And number two, to ensure him that he had to depend on the Holy Spirit in order to get the job done. Because once again, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Y'all still with me? Amen. It had to be done by divine power from the Holy Spirit. And how many of you know Zerubbabel received the word of God? He received the word of God. And after some years, the years went by, they resumed the building of the temple in 522 B.C. And they completed building the temple in 516 B.C. Once again, not by their power, not by their might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Are y'all still with me? And how many of you know that the word that was given to Zerubbabel concerning God is the same word that is meant for us today. The same word. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Are y'all still with me? It's for us today. See, when Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I am, when Jesus Christ was living on earth, he talked to the disciples about what was going to happen to him. John 14, 15, and 16, for those of you who are taking notes. And he told them that he was going to prepare a place for them. And they were pretty sad because they didn't want to see Jesus go. Because they had walked with him. They had talked with him. They had been with him. And he said to them, he said, it's going to be okay. Because when I leave, I'm going to send you another comforter. And that comforter will be with you forever. And who Jesus was talking about, he was talking about the Holy Ghost. Or you can call him the Holy Spirit. Just don't call him Casper, the friendly ghost. Y'all still with me? Amen. And he told him he was going to send the Holy Spirit back. And Jesus told them that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. And when Jesus went back, was resurrected, he did exactly what he said. And the same Holy Spirit that led the children of Israel, Zerubbabel, and Joshua the priest, I haven't talked about him yet, but I will later on, in rebuilding the temple, is the same Holy Spirit that is with you and I today, if you are a Christian. If you're not, you can be one today. It does not cost you nothing. Because the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? And you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So the Holy Spirit is here as Jesus promised. Amen, amen, amen. So Christians, because we can't do things on our own, everything that we do in this life, we must involve the Holy Spirit in it. Y'all still with me? We have to include him in everything that we do if we want to be successful. Because as I said already, some things require divine intervention. And that's what the Holy Spirit is here for, okay? To help us, to guide us, to lead us, to show us how to do things the right way, to teach us how to praise God, to reveal the things to us from God. He's our God. Y'all still with me? He's the third person of the Trinity. And he's here. Not tomorrow, but right now. Amen. And we must include him in everything we do from this day forward. Why? Because in the year of 2025, which is not over yet, in the year of 2025, there are so many people, okay, who fail in areas that we should be winning in. And the reason why the people fail, and I'm talking about Christians, the reason why they fail in those areas is because they tried to do those things on their own instead of being in communication with the Holy Spirit. They tried to do it themselves. And when they tried to do these things themselves, they faced a lot of opposition, because how many of you know there are so many people in this world who don't want to see you succeed? They don't want to see you move ahead. They don't want to see you promoted. They don't want to see you receive things. They will say they are your friends, and as soon as you get one step ahead of them, they are not your friend anymore. They will stab you in your back. And by these people facing oppositions, the ones that failed, they ended up giving up. They end up quitting. They ended up not focusing on what God told them to do, but focusing on other things. Why? Because they listened to the opposition and allowed the opposition to put fear in their hearts, just like the children of Israel, because people told them, you can't do it. You can't do it. You're not qualified. Only 3% of people ever made it. That means 97% didn't make it, and you're not a part of the 3, you're part of the 97. There's no way you're going to be able to do it. I know you said you had a vision, but you can't do it. And people believe that. Instead of doing what God said, they believe what people said. And because they listened to the voice of opposition, they ended up going into a state of depression. They ended up going into a state of oppression. They ended up falling into a state of PQRSTUV pressure, or whatever other kind of pressure that you think about. Why? Because they thought that they were not able to do what they know they heard the voice of God telling them to do because of opposition. How many of you know they call it opposition for a reason? The reason why they call it opposition, because they are against you. They are against me. They are against us in being everything that God created us to be. So once again, people listened to them, and they ended up giving up. Because someone told them they couldn't do it. Someone told them, your mother's nothing. Your father was nothing. What make you think you're going to be something? And people listened to them. But I'm here to tell you, whatever you do, you're not on your own. You have the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, whatever you do, do it unto who? God, the Lord. And when you do things unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit is there to lead you and guide you. But in 2025, a lot of people fail by the wayside. Why? Because they listen to the voice of a stranger. And a stranger is anyone who is speaking to you that is not speaking the word of God, or anyone who's going against the word of God. Are y'all still with me? But how many of you know we have another chance to get it right? Because the past is the past. And it's called the past for a reason. The reason why the past is called the past, because it is the past. It is behind us. And from this day forward, we get a chance to do it over again. Y'all still with me? Because we're still standing, but by the grace of God. Amen? Amen? And amen. So we cannot afford to leave the Holy Spirit, who is leading us and guiding us, behind in 2025. We must take him along with us into 2026. Why is that? Because the same enemy, the same devil, the same Lucifer, the same Satan, the same accuser of the brethren, or whatever you want to call him, the same demonic spirit will follow us into 2026. And if we leave the Holy Spirit behind, we're going to face the same failures in 2026 that we faced in 2025. We're going to face the same problems that we faced in 2025, and the same problems are going to overcome us and cause us to have triple anxiety when the Bible tells us to be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in your heart, Philippians 4, let your requests be made known unto the Lord, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many of you know I want peace in my life? I want peace. But how many of you know that we will not have peace as we move forward unless we allow the Holy Spirit to do what God sent him back to do in our lives? Because once again, the Bible tells us in Zechariah, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. And I believe that 95% of Christians in this world can quote this scripture by heart. I believe 95% of Christians in the world, they know that scripture by heart. Some people might be able to quote it backwards. But as I always say, talk is cheap. If we do not apply the word of God to our lives, then we might as well not even quote it. Because if we do not apply it, it will not do us any good. Y'all still with me? Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. We cannot afford to leave the Holy Spirit behind, Christians, anymore in 2026 or from this day forward. We must allow him to not follow us, but to lead us. The Bible never tells us that he will follow us into all truth. The Bible says he will lead us. He will guide us into all truth. The Bible also tells us that God always goes before us. Are y'all still with me? So we need to make a decision. If we want to face the same defeats that we got that defeated us in 2025, or just leave the Holy Spirit at home. But if we want to win in every area of our life, we must depend on the Holy Spirit. Are y'all still with me? We cannot allow people to hold us back any longer. We must be obedient to the word of God. We must be the vessel that God created us to be. And we must do what God is telling us to do. We cannot allow the distractions of this world to stop us from making God number one in our life any longer. We can't do it no more. We cannot have one foot in and one foot out. We cannot be straddling the fence. We cannot be a Christian on Sunday, but hanging out there doing things that the world do on Tuesday. We can't do that anymore. It's decision time. We must be led by the Holy Spirit in all things. Y'all still with me? If not, we will have the same results that we had in 2025. We must reverence, recognize that the Holy Spirit is here to lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen? Now, as I was reading Zechariah chapter 4 yesterday, because, I mean, you know, if you read the Bible one time and you read it another time, you might see something in it the other time that you didn't see in it the first time. That's why we need to study the Bible all the time. But as I was reading it yesterday, studying this word, I saw some things in here that reminded me of the Christian life today. And I was like, wow. Y'all still with me? Because when I started talking to you, I gave you some history, and I mentioned to us that the Babylonians had destroyed the temple of God in 587 BC. They destroyed the temple of God. And how many of you know one of their missions was to destroy Jesus? And Jesus looked at himself as being a temple. And he shared some words with them in John chapter 2. I want you to go there. John 2. Amen. John chapter 2. They destroyed the temple. John chapter 2. Amen. They wanted Jesus to give them a sign. How many of those people always want a sign? I mean, you know, they just can't trust God's word. They want to, God, if that's you, God, let the bird fly three times and turn three flips. No, you don't need no sign. You don't need no sign. You, look, we need the word. Let's do what God says. Well, Gideon asked for a fleece. Are you not Gideon? Be you. Y'all still with me? So they want a sign. Look at what the Bible says. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What signs showest thou unto us, Jesus, seeing that thou doest these things?" Jesus talked about some things that he was going to do. And they want to see a sign. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple in 3 days, and I will raise it up." Do y'all see that? He said, "Destroy this temple in 3 days, and I will raise it up." Now look at their response. Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and would thou rear it up in 3 days? What temple are they talking about? What temple are they talking about? Who? They're talking about the Jerusalem temple. Christians, y'all here this morning? He's talking about destroying himself, calling himself a temple. They are so spiritually dumb. They're focused on the Jerusalem temple. And they said, these said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and you're talking about rearing it up in 3 days? Look at what the Bible says in verse 21. But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. In other words, they tried to destroy him. Jesus said, "If you destroy this temple, I'm going to raise it in 3 days." And Christians, how many of you know that that's exactly what he did? How many of you know that your body, I've said it already, is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And there is an enemy called Satan, I mentioned his name earlier, who is trying to destroy your temple. Not only is he trying to destroy your temple, he's trying to destroy all of you, your whole being, your spirit, your soul, and your body, because the Bible says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to destroy you. Y'all still with me? But the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is working in you to lead you, to keep you from having your temple destroyed. When I say temple, I'm not just talking about your body. I'm talking about your spirit and your mind, because some people are out of their mind because they have allowed Satan to control their mind, and that's not supposed to be happening. Y'all still with me? See? But he cannot destroy you unless unless we allow him to. And if we are led by the Spirit, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit, if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, he will not be successful. But if we try to fight this spiritual battle on our own, we will not win. Why? Because we cannot do it by our power. We cannot do it by our might. It had to be by the Spirit of God, which is the reason why God sent the Holy Spirit back. Are y'all still with me? So, they destroyed their temple, but they couldn't destroy Jesus. And not only could they not destroy Jesus, they can't destroy you and me unless we allow them to. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And then the Bible says something about they went back to build the foundation. I told you all earlier that a builder cannot stand without a foundation. A house cannot stand without a foundation. A temple cannot stand without a foundation. Are y'all still with me? How many of you know that you don't have to go back and build a foundation? Because your foundation is already built. Are y'all still with me? Jesus Christ is the firm foundation. And that foundation is already standing. Why? Because you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So your temple is built on a foundation. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Your temple is already built on a foundation. And Satan cannot pull the foundation from underneath your building. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I remember a song years ago, you know, nothing against the author. I would never do that. You know, but the song said, this old building, keep on leaning. I got to move to another home. Amen. Listen, you're not going to get another home. until you go get your new glorious body. Until that time, you're going to be, this your home. Your body is a house for your spirit. And listen, you better take care of your body. Because you won't get another one until Jesus comes back. So if it's leaning, you better put that block, that brick that fell off, you better lean it back and put that brick back underneath. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. And nothing against the, yeah, amen, amen. Hey, well, let me just say this. Your building might be leaning, but mine not leaning. Are y'all still with me this morning? 1 Corinthians. And the reason why it's not leaning is because it is built on a firm foundation. I better be careful of them songs y'all singing. All songs ain't good songs. I'm just saying. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and it also comes when you hear other stuff as well, if you listen to it and do what it says. Be careful what you hear. Bible says, take heed what you hear. Now, when you start hearing stuff, people start speaking what they hear out of their mouth. And once it go out of your mouth, guess what? The Bible says only the word of God should not return void. It doesn't say anything about your word. Unless you're speaking the word of God. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Is that what I said? Amen. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, Paul to the Corinthians, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For there is no foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation that can man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. In other words, Jesus Christ is the firm foundation, and as Christians, it is our responsibility to build on the firm foundation. In other words, we must build our life on Jesus. We must build our life on the foundation. Are y'all still with me? In other words, the foundation needed to be built. It needed to be built for the children of Israel, and it needed to be built for us. And Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, because he made a sacrifice. Now we are, once we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are built on the firm foundation. That firm foundation is Jesus Christ. Now it is our responsibility to build on the foundation. The same way it was the children of Israel's responsibility to build on the foundation. But their building on the foundation was delayed because of opposition. Because of distractions. And how many of you know, as I've already stated, so many of us, our building our life on Jesus have been delayed, have been suspended. We are not where we need to be in Christ Jesus. We are not where we should be in Christ Jesus. When I say we, I'm talking about our life is not where it needs to be. Why? Because we have delayed it due to the oppositions that we face in the world. due to the distractions that we face in this world every day. We're not presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable or spiritual service. And we are not renewing our mind with the word of God. And because of those reasons, we are delaying ourselves in growing spiritually in Christ Jesus. In other words, we spend more time on the internet than in the word of God. We spend more time on TikTok than the word of God. We spend more time on Facebook than the word of God. We spend more time on, you know, all them other ones that I don't know, y'all know them, amen, than the word of God. Now, spiritual life is delayed. How many of you know it's time to undelay it and become what God and who God created us to be? But the only way we are going to be able to do it is by the word of God. In the work of the temple being delayed, Zerubbabel needed a word from God. He needed divine intervention. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Zechariah to give that word to Zerubbabel. How many know God has given us his word today? He's given us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, along with his word, to help us to continue to build on the foundation, to continue to build our life on Jesus. When are we going to stop delaying the building on the foundation? When are we going to get back to work like the children of Israel did? They built a material building. I'm talking about a spiritual building on Christ Jesus. When are we going to do that? When are we going to make the decision to do that? Are y'all still with me? God has given us his word. Just like the man, the angel gave the word to the prophet, and the prophet gave the word to Zerubbabel. See. Well, why did he give it to the prophet? Let me tell you why he gave it to the prophet. I want to remind us of when Adam and Eve sinned, mankind couldn't go directly to God and pray. They had to go through the prophets and the priest. But how many of you know you can go to God by way of the Holy Spirit that lives in you because of what Jesus Christ did? See, we don't have to wait for a word from God, from someone. We can hear it from God ourselves. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't hear a word from people. Of course you should, because that's why he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. That's why the gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body. But you can pray to God by yourself in the name of Jesus. You can ask for direction yourself. You can ask him, Father God, what do I need to do? Where am I missing it at? Why am I not growing spiritually? Is it something I'm doing? You know what he's going to say? Yeah, uh-huh. Y'all still with me? See. The word to Zerubbabel was not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. In other words, they had to be led by the Spirit. Well, I mean, you know, as Christians today, we must be led by the Spirit. Why? Because the Bible tells us to. Y'all stay with me today. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Don't worry, I'm getting there. Romans chapter 8. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointings has already come my way. It's a season of power and prosperity, and I'm not just talking about money, I'm talking about in every area of your life. It's a new season. God has brought us a mighty long ways. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. When you get there, say amen. Look at verse number 1. There are so many similarities between their day and our day. We still must do things not by our human power, not by our human right, but by the human might, but by the Spirit of God, who leads us and guides us to all truth. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. Who walk not after the flesh, but the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Do y'all see that? For what the law could not do, verse 3, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4 says, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the who? Spirit. That's the same Holy Spirit that they were talking about in the Old Testament. Pastor, was the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament? Of course he was. What I thought he came to live in us in the New Testament? Of course he did. But he was already there. Because the Bible tells us in 1 John, there are three that bear witness of heaven. The Father, the Spirit, and the Word. Jesus' name before he came to earth, he was called the Word. Because the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there are three that bear witness, the Father, the Spirit, and the Word. And the Bible said these three are one. So the Holy Spirit was there. In Genesis, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, and the Spirit of the Lord. It's right there. Genesis chapter 1. So he's always been. Because he is. Y'all still with me? So we must be led by the Spirit. The Bible tells us in verse 9, it says, but you are not in the flesh, if you're a Christian, but in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, guess what? You have the Spirit of God, Christ. Because if you are a Christian, if you're not one, you can be one today. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it was the Holy Spirit who baptized you into the body of Christ. It was the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. It is the Holy Spirit, what the Bible said, God said, you know, when the Holy Spirit ascended on Jesus like a dove, the Bible said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit, Christian, is here to work. He's always been here to work. He's here to do what God sent him to do. And he's here to work in you and to work in me to help us to continue to be successful in this work. How can we leave him at home? You can leave that credit card at home. But we can't afford to leave the Holy Spirit at home. Y'all still with me? We must have the Holy Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Three books to your right. Galatians chapter 5. I'm just trying to show it so you can see it in the Word for yourself. So that way, so you won't take my word for it. Hey, look, guess what? I need to see it too. Romans 5. I mean Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. When you get there, say amen. The Bible tells us here in Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at... second time here. Let's go. It says, Paul to the Christians at Galatians, Let's start with verse 1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I told you all, we're free. Who the Son shall set free is free indeed. Okay? He said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify against every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. You know, back in the old law, when they did circumcision, you know, they used, you know, cut the skin, the forehead. Paul is saying, no, through Christ Jesus, you don't have to do that no more. You need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you know. That's what separates a Christian from everybody else, by accepting Jesus. And then he said once again in verse 3, for I testify against every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth nothing, nor circumcision, but faith which worketh by love. How many of you know you can't even love people without the Spirit of God? You can't even love people. I love them. And then you're talking about the back, behind their back the whole time. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking, this is hypothetical. You know, I'm talking about in general. And Christians, in church, everybody love everybody. Isn't it amazing in church, everybody love everybody? Love your brother. Love your sister. They see me at Walmart, they don't even want to speak to them. I remember I went to church years ago. I told you all this the year before. I used to go to this church, man. They used to be like, it was always exciting. People, yeah, everybody dapping, everybody love everybody and stuff. And, oh, I'm glad to see you, you know. And I remember I was walking, I was in Germany, and I was walking down somewhere, and this lady who passed by me, she was coming towards me, and I was going this way. And I walked by, so you know she's, I'm fine. She walked by. And when I walked by, I said, oh, oh, she said, what? I said, oh, in church, you want to speak, but now you act like you don't know me. Oh, brother, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I didn't even recognize, I didn't see you. Okay, whatever. I bust people out like that, yep. Y'all still with me? Okay, I'm moving on. But we need the Holy Spirit. We can't put him in the back burner. We need him at all times. We need to allow him to do in our life what God sent him here to do, to lead us and guide us. Y'all still with me? Zerubbabel and the gang was able to build the temple because of their faith in God, their faith in being led by the Holy Spirit. That's the same thing we must do. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works on the inside of us. They were able to finish building the temple, not by power, not by might, but by the Holy Spirit. Y'all still with me? Guess what? We are supposed to finish also. We're not supposed to give up anything. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And as long as we continue to have faith in God, in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, we will complete anything that God has put in our path. We will complete this race, okay? Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. And the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1, around the 6th verse, you can read 1 through 6, that he who began a good work in you shall perform it until the coming of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, the work is on the inside of us. And as long as we do not give up and lose faith and listen to the opposition, follow the distractions, we will always come out on top. Why? Because the one who leads us is the Holy Spirit, and the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's working on the inside of us. We just need to follow him. Are you still with me? I'm getting ready to close. I want you to go back to the book of Zechariah, and I'm going to close it out. I'm going to close it out. Amen. Because I told you I would talk to you about that oil later on. I'm closing it out in Zechariah. I have 50 seconds to left. 50 seconds. Zechariah. Amen. I'm going to close it out right here in the book of Zechariah. Amen. Are y'all there yet? Are y'all asleep? Are y'all all right? Y'all awake? Amen. Amen. Zechariah. I'm in the New Testament. Let me go back a little bit. I'm closing with this. So he had a vision. The angel told him to give a message to Zerubbabel. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, Zechariah is still thinking about those things. He's still thinking about the lamps. He's still thinking about the olive tree. Okay? I want you to pick it up in verse number 6. We're going to read all this and we're going to be done. Then he answered and spoken to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? In other words, he's telling these people, listen, you need to get out of Zerubbabel's way, because the Bible says in verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation for this house, and his hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know what the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. In other words, he's not going to finish it by power, human power. He's not going to finish it by might, but he's going to finish it by my spirit, saith the Lord. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
And then the Bible says in verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Second Chronicles tell us the same thing. The Bible says in verse 11, then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which thou, with through the two golden pipes, emptied the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, you don't know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Who are the two anointed ones? Christians. Number one, Zerubbabel was anointed by God to build their temple. Number two, there was the high priest. You can read about it in chapter 2, I believe, who was called Joshua the high priest. In other words, God had an anointed person to deal with the politics, and he also had an anointed person to deal with the spiritual side. So there was no way Satan could come in and stop God's people from building this temple. There's no way the opposition could stop it. Why? Because God had two anointed people to deal with the situations. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about the olive trees. Okay? Well, what about the oil? Well, how many know? I'm glad you asked that question. Stand to your feet, because I'm going to tell you this while you're on your feet. Anytime you see oil in a situation right there, that oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So not only was the anointed man on the left side, not only was the anointed man on the right side to make sure things got done, the Holy Spirit was there. And the lamps and the lights always represent the presence of the Lord. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is a light of the world. There's nothing the opposition can do. There is nothing the opposition can do to stop them from building the temple. And there is nothing the opposition can do to you. as you move forward in the year 2026. There is nothing that Satan can do that can stop you. There is nothing that people can do that can stop you. Why? Because you are children of the Most High God. If only 3% of people were able to complete the mission, you need to be one of the 3%. If only 1% did it, you need to be one of the 1%. You need to trust in God. I'm going to share this with you and I'm going to close. Give you a testimony. Many of you have heard this before. You're going to hear it again. See, we always, sometimes, and I'm glad some people are giving testimonies on New Year's Eve, because I'm looking forward to those testimonies. See, sometimes we need to tell people what God is doing in our life. We don't need to tell them what he did for Moses, what he did for David, what he did for, listen, what is he doing in your life? I remember I was up for a promotion, for a high promotion. And someone told me that, you know, they're not promoting a lot of people in my field. And I said, I'm going to get promotion. And I went to this closing sales store, military store, and I bought the rank that I wanted to get promoted, and I sold it on my shirt. And I put it, hung it up in my wall locker where I could see it every day. Well, anyway, the promotion list came out. And someone told me, a person who handles the list, they handle the list. You know, they get the list like a day prior. They handle the list. They told me, well, Wallington, your name's not on the list. You didn't get promoted. You didn't make that rank. And you know what I did? I got mad at God. No, I didn't. I started praising God anyway. I said, God, maybe I didn't get promoted, but you're still God. You're still in control. You're still on the throne. I didn't go over there and say, well, you know, Father, your word says anything I asked for, and I didn't. No, no. He's still God, whether he give it to me or not. The next day, I was minding my own business. This other guy who had a list, he walked down to where I worked there. He said, guess what? I said, what? He said, you made it. I said, you made what? I made what? He said, you made the list. I said, I did. He said, yeah, you made the list. I had a low number. I was like number 4 or 5, something like, somewhere in that area. Listen, only 3% of the people in my, we call it MOS, my job, only 3% of the army, the whole army, made the list. I was one of the three. Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit, said the Lord. But listen to this, that's not the rest. Let me give you the rest of the story. On the promotion list, you have like number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5. You know what my number was? Good God Almighty. It was like 3.5. 3.5. 3.5. You know what? I believe the day before, I wasn't on the list. But I believe because I started praising God anyway. I started lifting him up anyway. I started honoring him anyway. I believe somehow he squeezed me between the 3 and the 4. That's a true story. What am I trying to get you to see? Don't ever doubt God. Trust in God. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Let him lead you and guide you as you move forward. Don't settle for nothing that happened to you that you lost back in 2025. Man, it's in the past. What's today's date? 27 and beyond is in the past. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing. has already come your way. It's a season of power and prosperity in every area of your life. It's a new season that's already come to you. Walk in your victory. Amen? Somebody give God a hand praise because he's worthy. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We serve a great God. He deserves more of us.
It's a season of power.
We try to do so many things on our own. Christian, we can't do it. Jesus said, without me, you can't do nothing. But the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ. The word is a witness of itself. When God blessed Abraham, the Bible says he had no one else to swear on, so he swore on him. He swore by himself. He's a true God. I wish all of you happiness as you move forward. You're free in Jesus' name. Walk in your freedom.
Yeah.
Live in your freedom. The Son shall make you free. You are free indeed. Give God more of your time as you move forward. Give him more of your time. Give him more of your time. And you will receive more from him. But you got to make sacrifices. Every eye closed in the place. It's a new season.
It's a new day.
Yes, Lord.